The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayabhataka Swami on October 12, 1982 in Honolulu, Hawaii. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 10, Verse 43.
Thereafter, at the end of the millennium, the Lord Himself in the form of Rudra, the Destroyer, will annihilate the complete creation as the wind displaces the clouds. This creation is very appropriately compared to clouds. Clouds are created or situated in the sky, and when they are displaced, they remain in the same sky without manifestation. Similarly, the whole creation is made by the Supreme Personality of God in His form of Brahma. It is maintained by Him in the form of Vishnu. And it is destroyed by Him in the form of Rudra or Shiva in due course. This creation, maintenance, and destruction are nicely explained in Bhagavad Gita 8:19-20 as follows. Bhuta grama sa evayam bhutva bhutva praliyate. Ratragbhame vasapartha prabhavatyahar agame parastasmatu bhavonyo vyakto vyaktat sanatana yasa sarveshu bhuteshu nasyatsu na vinasyati. The nature of the material world is that it is first created very nicely. Then it develops very nicely and stays for a great number of years, even beyond the calculation of the greatest mathematician. But after that, it is again destroyed during the night of Brahma, without any resistance. And at the end of the night of Brahma, it is again manifested as a creation to follow the same principles of maintenance and destruction. The foolish conditioned soul who has taken this temporary world as a permanent settlement has to learn intelligently why such creation and destruction take place. The fruit of actors in the material world are very enthusiastic in the creation of big enterprises, big houses, big empires, big industries, and so many big things out of the energy and ingredients supplied by the material agent of the Supreme Lord. With such resources and at the cost of valuable energy, the conditioned soul creates, satisfies his whims, but unwillingly has to depart from all his creations and enter into another phase of life to create again and again. To give hope to such foolish conditioned souls who waste their energy in this temporary material world, the Lord gives information that there is another nature, which is eternally existent without being occasionally created or destroyed, and that the conditioned soul can understand what he should do and how his valuable energy may be utilized. Instead of wasting his energy in matter, which is sure to be destroyed in due course by the Supreme Will, the conditioned soul should utilize his energy in the devotional service of the Lord so that he can be transferred to the other, eternal nature, where there is no birth, no death, no creation, no destruction, but permanent life instead, full of knowledge and unlimited bliss. The temporary creation is thus exhibited and destroyed just to give information to the conditioned soul who is attached to temporary things. It is also meant to give him a chance for self-realization and not for sense gratification, which is the prime aim of all fruitive actors. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purport of text 43, chapter 10, canto 2, Srimad Bhagavatam, in the matter of Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. Everyone in this material world is after fruitive activities. They want the fruitive results. For what? For sense gratification. They want sense gratification. That sense gratification is in different categories, in different types. You see, all this sense gratification in this material world is but a dim reflection of the spiritual world. You see, here, person in the mode of ignorance, a sudra, is interested in one kind of happiness, a vaishya, another, a kshatriya, another, a brahmana, yet another. You see? So, the sudra, of course, if they have the opportunity, they prefer drinking wine and becoming intoxicated and gambling and having illicit or unregulated sex life and engaging in other type of gross pursuits. If a sudra has the chance, he will try like to engage in those activities. But therefore, it's recommended that the sudra should always be engaged in chanting the holy name of the Lord. And this will help to put out the fire of the material burning in their heart. You see, a vaishya, and that they should also render some service whenever possible to the Lord. That the vaishya, of course, Krishna exhibited how a vaishya can enjoy playing with the cows, having butter fights, and so many other wonderful pastimes. Those who are vaishyas who are in the rural scene. Otherwise, the vaishya, they're very eager to make money in the modern day world. You see, sudra may also be eager to make money, but doesn't know how. So he ends up getting a job and like that. But the vaishya actually knows how to make money. And this becomes practically like a religion for them, simply trying to amass more and more money. So there it's recommended that the vaishya should use that money for spreading Krishna consciousness, and thus they can become purified. If they simply use the money for their own sense gratification, which is going to finish with this body, then everything is lost. The kshatriya, we've seen in the pastime of Ramachandra, how a kshatriya, as well as in other incarnations in the later life, but especially Lord Ramachandra showed how a king or a kshatriya is living. They're enjoying in martial arts, they're enjoying in various type of education and charity and culture. This is they especially promote the spiritual culture, but all type of culture are promoted under them. And in this way, they're supposed to lead the people to home back to Godhead in terms of organizing society in such a way that preachers are protected and that religious principles are protected also and promoted. Then the brahmanas, of course, are the intellectuals. They're more interested in the academic pursuits. That we find in the pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That how Brahmana is enjoying that in Lord Chaitanya's early life, he showed by appearing in the family of the Brahmanas, he was relishing these brahminical pursuits. Of course, for Lord Chaitanya, in no time at all, he memorized all of the Vedas. Practically by the age of 11 or 12, he already knew all the Vedas, which is impossible for an ordinary person. And he would challenge people, say that, I think, I don't know if I mentioned before, but sometimes he'd be walking down the street and he would see, say, Mukunda at that time, and Lord Chaitanya would already, was starting to take his own students. And he would see Mukunda and he'd say, "Hey Mukunda, where are you going?" He called from a distance, you see. He would call, and then Mukunda would be coming. So, I mean, Mukunda would see him and he wanted to run away. "Oh no, it's Nimai Pandit. Why is he calling me? He's so proud. I'm going to smash his pride today. You see. Then Lord Chaitanya called him over and said, why you're not, very friendly, why you're not staying with us? Why you're not, why you're trying to avoid? You see. You don't want to study any more Sanskrit, because the one time he was a student for a short time and then he went away from Lord Chaitanya. This was before Lord Chaitanya manifested his devotional aspect fully. Just as Krishna was playing with the cowherd boys, Lord Chaitanya in his childhood was playing with the brahmanas. And brahmanas, their main thing is knowledge. Knowledge is very important for them. So this pursuit of knowledge, much as we find today in the academic institutions, is especially relished by brahmanas. You see, of course, some people, they can't understand why, who could relish school, but there are some who actually like to accumulate knowledge. You see, maybe they're known as bookworms, or other derogatory, I don't know, different type of thing, but there are certain classes of people who actually like intellectual discussions and like to understand philosophical points and various type of logic and academic pursuits. So especially this is one of the characteristics of a type of superficial characteristic of Brahmins in terms of their activities, not in terms of their qualities necessarily. So he was telling Mukunda, why you're running away? Why you're not staying with us? Mukunda said, now I'm going to just tell him. I'm going to show him. He said that, now I'm not interested in your grammar study, Nimai Pandit. Now I am studying poetry. Now I know Sanskrit poetry. I don't need your grammar classes. So Nimai, well, of course we do know something about poetry. Are you sure that you wouldn't like to give us some lesson in poetry? What type of poetry are you learning that is so much greater than what we can teach? So then Mukunda started to recite some poetry, in which Lord Chaitanya promptly tore apart and crushed Mukunda, all with a very smiling, gentle mannerism. And then Mukunda, he said, how does he know every scripture? How does he know every grammar? How does he know every poetry? What is this person he might be? But he's so proud. I just don't want to be with someone so proud. If only he was more of a devotee, then I would be with him. And he walked off, and Nimai Pandit said, well, we'll see you tomorrow. Come and learn some poetry. And this way, then Lord Chaitanya, he'd walk through the town, and everyone would love him, you see. Even at the age of about 13 or 12, he had already defeated the Keshav Kashmiri, the greatest pandit of India, Digvijay, who would go from village to village and town to town and defeat the gurus of all the kings. So, as he would go through the town, though, everyone in the whole town, which was centered around this Brahminical culture, people were coming from all over India to learn Sanskrit, to learn the Vedas, to learn poetry, to learn all the different types of culture. Navadvip was the seat of culture. Actually, now Bhavananda Goswami and the Mayapur Chandradwaya Temple, also the humble self, we're trying to make the Mayapur Chandradwaya Mandir into again this seat of cultures connected with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement to recreate some of the original mood of Navadvip Dham, the more spiritually usable aspects of the culture at least. So when Lord Chaitanya would be going through the town, everyone would come out to see him. Just as in Vrindavan they would come out to see Krishna going with the cows, all the residents of Navadvip would come to see Nimai Pandit going with his students. He was so beautiful with his lotus eyes and his beautiful form. And then he would go, and then the handlover would say, Nimai Pandit, Nimai Pandit, you're not coming. And he would come in, and he would give him a seat, he would respect him, he would offer incense and different cool drinks. Of course, generally Lord Chaitanya wouldn't take outside, but he would offer anyway all type of hospitality. Then Nimai Pandit would say, "But so, this set is getting old. What are my new cloth? Where's the new cloth? What do you have today?" Because Prabhupada said he was a very flashy dresser. So they would bring out all the new colored various type of cloth. And Lord Chaitanya said, "Oh, this one is very nice. That one is very nice. But, of course, I'm a poor brahmana. Where will I get all the money for these things?" And he would just capture everybody's heart. They said, "For you, there's no question of cost. If you want to, you can give something. That's okay." Then Lord Chaitanya would go out again down the street, and then he'd walk into the Ghosh's place where all the milkmen were. And they would give him a seat. "Please sit down, sit down." He said, "Where's the rasgulla? Where's the yogurt? Where's the milk? Where's the buttermilk? Where's the ghee? Why are you making me sit here for nothing?" Then they'd come out and bring out offerings of ghee and buttermilk. He said, "Of course, I'm a poor brahmana. Where will I afford all these things? Where's the money?" "No money, you know." But everyone was completely, he was just the lord of the whole city. You see, where he went, people willingly, they said, "All right, so take ghee for your deity, you can do the abhishek, and take some milk for the abhishek." They'd give the, willingly give all the milk products. He'd give to one student and go on. It's like his own big DJ. Then he'd go, and he went to one astrologer. He'd go different day, different places. Not that every day go to the same place, but he would be going all around the town at a certain time in the day. And if he'd see any, if he would see any scholars, he'd say, "Oh hey, Bhattacharya, Bhattacharya, 1 minute please, sir, sir." And then they'd see him and run. Oh no, if Lord Chaitanya would see them, they knew that they were finished. He would call them over and ask them very polite question, and then proceed to completely destroy any self-respect that they had in their own learning and establish his own learning far above them. So they didn't want to have to suffer that humiliation. They would willingly run away. This kind of like how these smaller animals in the jungle run from the lion. They don't get in the way. And if any pundit, any scholar would dare to walk in front, then Nimai immediately would engage him in discussion and establish his supremacy. So, in this way, the Vaishnava, what is going on with this Nimai Pandit? He's wasting his life. Why doesn't he engage in pure bhakti, devotional service? He's just arguing. Something about him, there, all the devotees were completely attracted that this person has got some, we can't stop thinking about him. And what do you see? He's so attractive, but why he's always arguing and he's engaging in all these different type of activities? We're not normally attracted to these things, but in him, there's something about it very attractive. But then, my mentality, of course, as pure devotees was always that, well, he should engage in pure devotional service. One time he met Srivas, who was much older. Srivas said, "Why are you wasting your life like this? Why you don't simply engage in pure devotional service? Why don't you simply worship Krishna in bhakti? Why all this argumentation? Why all this scholastic pursuit?" Lord Chaitanya replied, My dear Vaishnava Thakur, I offer you all my respect. Certainly I want to simply engage in pure devotional service. This is my goal in life. But now in my youth, I am enjoying the pursuit of education, scholarship. But I'm looking for a guru. When I meet my guru, then I will start. Definitely I will render pure devotional service. You bless me that I can get a pure Vaishnava for a guru. Without a pure devotee for a guru, how will I be able to fulfill your desire? You must bless me. Put your hand on my head that I may achieve the shelter of a pure Vaishnava in the future. And this way he would encourage them. and get their blessing, and then he'd go off and continue with his own sport. Then after a little time, he'd take all his students, all right, let's go. On the way, of course, he decided, well, let's just stop in today, here's an astrologer. So he came in and sat down to the astrologer, and he told the astrologer, you are Sarvagya, you know all. You can see the past, present, and future through your astrological calculation and understanding. Tell me, Sarvagya, we hear you are very famous, that you actually have, well, of course, I think in English they would call it clairvoyant vision, but you have the special vision where you can see what is the past, the present, and the future. So tell me, who was I in the past? In my previous birth, who was I? So then he started chanting his Gopal mantras for his astrological vision. And when he chanted the mantras, he was looking. Suddenly he saw Ramachandra, Raghupati Ram, fighting against Ravana. He saw the whole pastime before his eyes. What's going on here? This Raman has done some magic on me. Then again he saw, there is Varaha and Bhavana, and there is Narasingha. Then he saw this Krishna playing on the flute, Murali Bhadan. Then again he saw Lord Chaitanya. What is going on? I can't tell you anything. I don't know who you are. This is very bewildering to me. And then you've got some magic you've done on me or something. He didn't know, because the yoga maya, even he saw, he couldn't understand that how. In fact, yes, this was Rama, this was Krishna, Narasingha, Vishnu had come. So then Lord Chaitanya laughed, and that person, he was completely bewildered. How did I see all these things? What? And then he offered his respect to Lord Chaitanya, but he was completely bewildered. And then Lord Chaitanya took his students, and they all went to the Ganges, and they started to play in the water, splashing each other. And this way, Lord Chaitanya, then after taking his bath in the Ganges, he went home, did his worship of the Shaligram Shila, bathing the Shaligram Shila and worshipping. Then his mother, Sachi Mata, and his wife, they prepared the prasada offer to the deity. Then he'd sit down and his wife would personally serve him the prasada. After he finished, he would take the remnants of his prasada also. And the mother, Sachi, would be very happy seeing how the wife was serving the husband, how his her son was so well situated. Then he'd take a little rest, and then after resting, again in the evening he'd go out and meet his friends. So like this he would have his daily activity. So in this way, he was in the early life leading a life like a Brahmana. And each of the different categories of Vaishya, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Sudra, etc. They all have their specific attraction. And just as a different incarnation, they also appear in different species, also in different varnas, ashramas, to show the people to actually benedict the different people, and also to enjoy transcendental pastimes. Of course, the actual purpose of life is to become Krishna conscious. But when Krishna himself comes, he has some pastimes. And when he would be surrounded by his students like that, it was described that how transcendental it was. That actually those students were all very great souls who had come just to participate in these pastimes. Maybe some of you will also be going to Navadvip in your next birth, and you'll in some universe, and you'll be participating in these pastimes with Lord Chaitanya, either in his early life or later in his Sankirtan movement. Most of the students, they all joined later his Sankirtan pastimes. So, actually this is the purpose of life, is to return back to home, back to Godhead, to be with the Lord and to assist him in his pastimes. The happinesses and the relationships in this universe, in this material world, They're all very temporary. As yesterday we read how the frog in the well, he is thinking that how big the sea is by expanding the his own knowledge of the well. In this way, people try to understand God, and they think, well, God is the creator, he's a destroyer. Nowadays, it's a very big well published, which we came out recently in the Back to Godhead, which I just saw the day I came here. It was in the the Los Angeles Times, about how so many people now are thinking, well, God is alive, he's there, but he just creates and destroys, and he wants us to do good, but he's not very powerful. He's ineffectual, actually. All he can do is hope the best, but there's nothing really he can do. It's really out of his control. Just that at best what he can do is wind up the whole show at one point, and he can create it, but in the middle, he's not really able to do anything. Therefore, God is a lot, you know, because he's ineffectual, people are born blind and people are suffering, even though they don't really deserve it, but well, it's out of his control anyway. It's just accidental happen, something like that. And this type of idea of an ineffectual God, they say, well, it's better to have an ineffectual God who's very kind, I can relate with that, than to have an all-powerful God who's very cruel on us. This is their idea, their speculation. So people, they want to limit God, or they try to understand God with their own limited experience. They want to know who is Krishna, who is the Supreme Person, in terms of a very limited type of understanding. Is very offensive that there's karma, that there's reincarnation. These things, of course, because they don't know, they can't understand why a child is born blind, why a person gets run over by a car when they're only 5 years old playing in the street or something like that. They can't understand that how these things can happen, because they don't understand that this life is only one life in a series of so many lives. And they don't understand also anything about the real nature of God. Actually, Krishna is all-powerful. But even the great, say, the more orthodox religionists who believe that, well, God is the creator, he's all-powerful, he's the destroyer as well, he's the maintainer. But actually, Krishna is much more than that. Today, well, actually, tomorrow in the verse, it mentions how Krishna is actually, his special feature is Ananda. That the real quality that Krishna also has, more than just being a type of, you can say, functionary for creation and annihilation, is Ananda, happiness. That he's the reservoir of all spiritual happiness. So how we can know about those spiritual happinesses is through when he comes down here and manifests his pastimes. We can start to experience some of the bliss in those pastimes. Just as when Krishna comes down and he benedicts the residents of Vrindavan, playing with him as a ordinary cowherd boy, or when Lord Chaitanya plays with the brahmanas as a brahmana, or how they come down. And of course then later they manifest after their childhood proclivities. Then they actually show their form in different aspects where people can really understand a lot of their potencies. It doesn't mean that their childhood activities were less, even though they appear to be materialistic. It's not materialistic, it's a type of benediction on so many devotees who are anxious to serve the Lord in that way. And they don't experience material happiness when these things are happening, but many devotees are experiencing spiritual ecstasies. Of course, Krishna manifested himself as the Supreme Person of Godhead right from birth, but Lord Chaitanya came in disguise. So therefore, many people couldn't understand that he was the Supreme Lord. That's also his Yoga Maya and his Mahamaya both acting on them. Well, Krishna, he was understood immediately by great souls as the Supreme Person. In that way, certain souls could recognize Lord Chaitanya, but not all. When he manifested his Sankirtan movement, then the devotees could realize that he was Krishna in due course. That's a separate issue. Today, in this sloka, we see that how the foolish conditioned soul takes the material world as a permanent settlement. And then, unfortunately, that person is so enthusiastic to create big enterprises, big organizations, big buildings, and so on. They don't realize that how all these big kingdoms and big dominions and enterprises, etc., are all finished. The person's life is soon going to be finished. All the big dynasties, all the big creations, they're not going to be around for very long. So the whole point is that when we do something, if we just do it to create something material, it's like building a sandcastle by the sea. It may look very nice, but one wave comes and it's wiped out. The waves of time are relentless. Amazing how they go through history. In some of the exhibits promoted by the big companies in America and by the government, they go through the history of the world. And they keep showing Egyptian civilization at its peak, it was destroyed. Roman civilization, it was destroyed. Then there was Napoleon, he was wiped out. Then there were so many civilizations. They're all. But then, they say like, now, this time, we're going to make it. History repeats itself. America is also heading right now along the same path of destruction. You see, we actually, the Vedic civilization has been existing. Now it may be dormant. But actually, that's the oldest civilization. Therefore, we have histories going back thousands and millions of years. What was not only one civilization going under, but so many demoniac civilizations that were created by different people were trying to reach the top, and they all are destroyed in time. So here we have the real solution is that in this short lifetime, and especially in this Kali Yuga, you can see not in 100 or 1,000 years, you can see whole governments and whole things in just a couple hundred years, even 10, 15 years, even a few months. Sometimes in Bolivia they have an average of 2 governments a year. You can see the temporary nature. But every president, when he comes in power, he thinks, I'm going to be the president that lasts. I'm going to be in office for the next 10 years. But they never last. So anyway, the different places have different karma. But whether it's 10 years or 100 years, we're not going to last more than 100 years in this body. You see, there's only a handful of people living over 100 years in the whole planet that are known to the people. So, what is the use of the is quarter to six, quarter after six is the normal limit. So the real point is that during this life we should actually render devotional service to Krishna. So this is was of course revealed by Lord Chaitanya in his later life. If we can do anything for Krishna, if we can become God conscious, then that we never lose. But whatever we do materially, it's not going to last. Of course, we get swept away in the whirlpool, and the whole thing becomes successful in material life to achieve fame, power, distinction, money, and sense gratification. And then before we know it, our life is finished, and again we're cast into another birth, another situation. And whatever we've done was all finished. So the real thing is whatever we do for Krishna, every time that a person chants Hare Krishna, every service they do, that they don't lose. That stays with them. This is to their best benefit. If you can get anyone to read Krishna's, Prabhupada's books, the people by simply reading those books, they'll become so benefited that you cannot imagine. That is their eternal benefit. You see. Like that, Srila Prabhupada wants us to give out this mercy that let people be eternally benefited. Of course, people are so focused on the temporary sense gratification and its related activities that they may not always appreciate. But what is the value of this spiritual life? They don't realize, what is the value of your temporary sense gratification? It's like going up on the Ferris wheel. You just have to spend a buck, go up for 10 minutes and come down. You're not going to be there long. This is the real value. This you'll never lose. They're almost like children. They don't have any vision of the whole spectrum of life. Therefore, they're just playing with their very limited vision like children. They're very sophisticated, no doubt. Very expert in their own way. But for what? So of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when his father left the world and he came back and he found that his father had gone, he took this as an opportunity to start, to end his childhood proclivities. He was only 14 years old. It wasn't that he was playing around for very long. Before that age, how would anyone listen to him anyway for preaching God consciousness? He could get away with some scholastic understanding, but anyway, that was his desire and pastime. So at the age of 14, he went to Gaya, which is a very big temple of Vishnu there. Everyone in India goes to Gaya, more or less, practically everyone, to do a pindi, or a sacred worship for the deceased soul, of the departed soul of a father or some relative. They worship the lotus feet of Vishnu in the name of that person so that they can be delivered. So at that point, when Lord Chaitanya went there, he met with Ishwara Puri, who he had had some association with in the past. But here at this time, he requested to be initiated. And when he was initiated into Krishna Nam, into the holy name of Krishna, then he went and did the worship of Vishnu's lotus feet there in Gaya, in the Vishnupad temple. And at that place, he started to manifest his first ecstasies. The tears were just pouring down from his eyes. From the moment he received initiation, he was just chanting Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So when he came back to Navadvip, the whole way he's chanting Krishna. When he came back with his students, all he could speak about was Krishna. Everything now was brought in relation to Krishna. Every Vedic sloka, every discussion, every grammar, every letter, every syllable, everything was connected with Krishna. The students were completely bewildered. What's happened to Narayana Pandit? Everything he says, he brings it around to Krishna. They went to his teacher, who had taught him grammar many years before, and said, "Your student, Nimai Pandit, I think he's gone bananas. Something's happened to him. He's chanting only Krishna, Krishna, and everything he's teaching is Krishna. He's telling us we should simply do pure devotional service. Maybe something has happened to him. You could just probably direct him." So then Gangadas Pandit, he went over to see Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya, seeing his old teacher, he offered respect. He bowed down and offered him a seat and said, "How can I serve you?" He would respect Gangadas Pandit, and he had defeated everyone else, but because he was actually he was a reincarnation of Sandipani Muni. So anyway, he respected him as his teacher, and although not his guru, and he do have his guru Ishwara Puri, but as a teacher, he respected. Anyone who teaches you something, you should respect him. So then, he said, "Well, you're a Brahmana, Vaishnava, your duty is to worship the deity, and you should know the scripture. Now the students are saying that you've given up logic, you've given up everything, you're just engaged in bhakti." "Who said? I am Nimai Pandit. I know all the scriptures. I know all the logic. I know all the arguments. I know everything. Grammar, poetry. I know all. Who is there that can challenge me?" The students said, "Wow, this is only Nimai knew." They were pukka intellectuals. They didn't want to be distracted. Sometimes you get these type of professional intellectual. They don't understand. What too much spiritual, they think it'll somehow impede in their natural flow of whatever they're into. Means that a little bit's all right, you know, not too much. They get too much, then they don't like it. So they thought, "This is too much. Now he's chanting and crying, and he's all the time Krishna is too much." So they went behind his back they told his teacher. So then, in this way, Gangadas Pandit, "Oh, but he's all right. You should know that as a Brahmana, of course you should do all the Vaishnava things, but main thing is we need very strong philosophical people to be able to defend the Vedic culture against others and to also to earn a living and so on." So Lord Chaitanya said, "No, no, who is there that can challenge me? Come on." He walked over the street. He stood up. "Where is there anyone who can challenge I, Nimai Pandit? Anyone give a slope? give a verse, give any argument. You see, who can explain it better? Who is there that can? Like this, he was challenging. All the students were in bliss. This is the same old Nimai Pandit. We're back where we started. We're doing great. Gangadas Pandit, he left. Meanwhile, one old friend of the grandfather of Lord Chaitanya, Nilambar Chakravarti Thakur, he just was walking by, and then he saw that Nimai Pandit in this way, and so he just came and he started to chant a slok from the Bhagavatam. A couple sloks. We were glorifying intimate pastimes of Lord Krishna, how he would deliver all the demons and give them special liberation, even they're coming to kill him. And so when he started to glorify Krishna in this way, as soon as the slokas hit Lord Chaitanya's ears, the students are looking at what's happening to Lord Chaitanya. He was stunned. Suddenly Lord Chaitanya, "Oh Krishna, Krishna, I'm so fallen. Krishna, I have neglected you for so many years." And then he became an ecstasy. Krishna is rolling on the ground. "Oh Krishna." And he was shaking and they were trying to hold him down. "Krishna, Krishna, when will I again have your shelter? When will..." And he was just immersed in separation, crying out, "Krishna, Krishna." And they're trying to hold him down and he was shaking. Even 10 students were being thrown this way, that way. They couldn't. Lord Chaitanya was rolling and he was shaking in such a way. They couldn't even hold him down. Said, "Oh no, Lord Chaitanya is not the same. I mean, Nimai Pandit's not. So what to do, what to do?" They tried to hold him. Finally, after some time, Lord Chaitanya, he came back to his external consciousness out of his ecstasy. So then, he told the boy, "All right, take your books today and we'll call it a day." So the next day, all the students came. The next day, Lord Chaitanya informed Sriman Das. Anyway, there's no time for all these pastimes, I guess. How he first met the devotees and told them about his change of heart. That's a whole intimate pastime with them. He actually reestablished his relationship with them. I can explain that sometime. When there's, I guess, there's more time. So then, after meeting with the devotees and all those intimate pastimes for the first time, then he again went back to his students that after the next afternoon, and they all brought their books and everything. And he says, "So how, what have you understood? I've been teaching you." He says, "Sir," and one boy stood up and said, "Whatever you say, it's all we can understand is one thing, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Whatever you say, from A to Z, everything is somehow comes out Krishna. And so, frankly, all we can follow is that you're just telling us about Krishna, but ultimately, you've never taught us like this before, we're a bit confused, we don't really know how to understand the sudden explanations on Krishna, the sudden change." So then Lord Chaitanya told me, "Well, I've trained you, I've taught you Sanskrit, I've read all the Vedas, and I've given you all the education that I could give. The thing is now, after studying everything and after knowing everything, I've come to the conclusion that there is nothing outside of Krishna. That Krishna is inside everything, outside everything, he is everything, yet he is above everything, that there's simply Krishna and nothing else. And so now, I can no longer just go on with the ordinary, in the ordinary way, I have to tell people about Krishna. And this is now going to be the way I am. That I'm going to be instructing everyone about Krishna and about worshipping Krishna and about chanting Krishna's holy name. So there's no hard feeling. I've come to this conclusion. If you'd like to know why, I can explain to you. You know that I'm the greatest scholar. It's not out of some blind sentiment. It's not out of some illusion. It's a fact. Krishna is everything and serving him is the only ultimate purpose of life. But I know that you come to me to learn grammar and to learn so many things, so you can pack up your books and you can go to another student, another teacher who will teach you those things. But now, this is not my, it's not possible for me to go back to those mere academics anymore. But there's no hard feeling. I won't resent it if anyone leaves. You can go on. Because this is, of course, for you, it's an unexpected situation. So, one of the students stood up and said that, well, you have trained us from the ABCs to all the grammar, all the Vedas, all the subtle understanding of Sanskrit, how to interpret Vedas. You see, of course, you've taught us about devotion, you've taught us about so many different things. But now that you've come to this conclusion that simply pure devotional service to Krishna is the only goal in life, when we've already understood you're the greatest scholar, you're in fact the greatest teacher, you're the most intelligent person, the most learned person, we don't want to go somewhere else. If this is your conclusion, it must be correct. We want to follow you. At least I speak for myself and so many others. So, then everybody, no, we want to follow you. All the students, they all said, no, we want to. We're not going to meet you. Whatever you say, alright. So the Lord Chaitanya, simply you chant Hare Kirtan. The one student said, what is Hare Kirtan? You never taught us Hare Kirtan. That's the one thing you never taught us. We don't know where you learned. But you never taught us. You see, what is Sankirtan? You have to, we'll learn, we'll do whatever you say. We are accepting your guidance, but how to do it? We've never done it before. So the Lord Chaitanya had some of the devotees, the full-time devotees come over and teach all his students to chant. By teaching them to chant, he got all the students to chant, and then he took the students and they are going now in kirtan to the town. People were saying, oh my God. Such a person, my pundit, he was so proud, more than naughty. I mean, not naughty, I mean, he's like, what is naughty, mischievous? So there's a certain word when a youth is just like a terror. And he was like, you know what I mean? Kind of very, I can't think of what the exact word is. No, that's not that. It's a combination of all those things. Like, something like boisterous is closer to it. But there's a special word for that, like a child progeny who kind of tears up the whole town.
Rambunctious.
Very rambunctious. But more sophisticated. Yeah, it's like a rowdy. At the same time, he was in a very cultural way, but he was very... this is no word for that. there's another word. Anyway. Someone who is so intense, combination of all those words. How did he become, now he's just chanting Krishna and he's just doing Sankirtan. What does this mean? That he's been tamed. It's so wild. Practically, but at the same time, wild at the same time is very, in his own way, is a very intense person, such an intensely, it's more like the description, like you have these, some great sportsman or some great politician or someone like that who's very, very
charismatic
person. Who is completely absorbed in some material activity, and then who becomes, turns around to spiritual life. That's a very shocking thing for ordinary people. So when they saw here Lord Chaitanya with all of his students is chanting kirtan, they're completely astonished. And this way, Lord Chaitanya, he began to show his real form. What was the real purpose of his coming? It was actually to spread this Harinam Sankirtan. So at the age of 14, he's already established as the greatest scholar, he had established himself completely. He was famous in material society. He was the most famous scholar. In his field, he was top of the line. He was the number one person. And then as soon as he had reached whatever he could reach on that material platform, then he completely manifested his spiritual activity. And all of his followers came right after him. because he had already won them over the whole time by his activity. He had actually already was able to go deep in their heart. Of course, he was, they were his eternal associates, many of them. And then they all followed him, which is very hard for students. Students don't want to follow, they don't want to leave their education once they want to keep on in that type of career. But because of Lord Chaitanya's mercy upon them, and because he was able to actually bring them with him, and then after that he used his erudite scholarship, he used all his ability to actually implant Krishna consciousness so deeply in society, because he's already on the top of the line, already there at the top of the whole social ladder, that even at the very young age, that it could do nothing but deeply impress everyone, and it created a tremendous faith in the chanting of Hare Krishna, which would have been difficult to achieve that level of faith had not Lord Chaitanya, first of all, established himself as the greatest scholar in the whole of the India, basically. So in this way then Lord Chaitanya manifested his original purpose for coming, the chanting of Hare Krishna, and he engaged everyone in that Sankirtan movement. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, everything we create in this material world is going to be destroyed. You see, but whatever amount of Krishna consciousness we can create, we can uncover, we can resurrect, you see, that is forever. That never dies. So that is the real wealth that we can gain. That is what this Krishna conscious movement brought by Srila Prabhupada is giving to all the materialists who are trying to create their own empires, which are going to be washed away like sandcastles. He is giving them the opportunity to really reap some permanent benefits. This is all by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Gaurava. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
Shri Acharya Pad ki jai.